So, continue with the thoughts on Libya. What to make of the situation in Libya? The international community is trying to formulate a response. That was our conversation a moment ago. Earlier this morning, we talked with David Kirkpatrick of our partner, The New York Times, in Libya, where he described a very theatrical sort of field trip on the part of the Libya's Muammar Gaddafi government of taking journalists who are based in Tripoli, which is controlled by Gaddafi, on a very strange trip to a sleepy suburban town to make the point that everything is fine in Libya. Let's get an update now from so-called liberated Benghazi, the second largest city in Libya, where BBC reporter Pascal Harder joins us from Free Libya. What's the view there, Pascal?
Well, the view here is a little bit grim determination if you compare it to the mood just a couple of days ago, which was one of joyful expectation that by now the anti-Gaddafi forces would have taken Ras Lanuf about a third of the way from Benghazi towards Tripoli and would be moving on to try and join up with the anti-Gaddafi protesters who've taken up arms and have been defending Zawiya just to the west of Tripoli, and Misrata on the other side. That hasn't happened, and people here are really beginning to flag in terms of their enthusiasm, and they keep telling us that their most powerful weapon is their determination and their morale. So it's very serious for the people of Benghazi.
Is there a call from people in Benghazi for some sort of international support to help them hold out? And how is the opposition managing sort of other civic concerns, getting services to women and children in Benghazi, reassuring civilians that, they have control of the situation?
Well, if I can take your first question first, the National Council, that's the body that set itself up to represent the opposition here, the anti-Gaddafi forces, is meeting right now for the first time, really, in a sort of policy meeting. Now, people in Benghazi on the street, they don't care about policy. There's only one as far as they're concerned, and that is convincing foreign countries to put that no-fly zone in place right now, yesterday. There's enormous impatience for it, frustration, because they say their sons are at the front line fighting in Ras Lanuf and they're being killed, and so are civilians. And now, as for, you know, how everything else is being affected, how the city and people's ordinary lives, well, the biggest laugh that people have had here in Benghazi recently has been Colonel Gaddafi's latest appearance on television, where he told the local people in Benghazi to rise up against what he called the Afghans, who were fomenting unrest here and turning the city of Benghazi, destroying it. Now, people are very amused because this city is operating fairly normally. There's not much traffic on the streets, but you won't find a queue at a petrol station, for example. People are keeping their children at home, not sending them to school. Shops aren't opening quite as much, but it's pretty much normal, and they find it laughable that the unrest would be caused by outside forces.
But just to go into some of the details there, BBC reporter Pascal Harder in Benghazi, how is, for instance, authority being meted out? Is it simply the mayor and the government that was in existence prior to this unrest? Who's making sure that oil gets delivered or gasoline gets delivered to service stations so vehicles can keep operating, that sort of thing?
I've just come back from petrol stations, actually did a little tour of them in Benghazi, and they say that they're receiving petrol. I think that it's stocks already that were being held in the east, which are being released. The latest information I've got is they've got 6 months' worth. Now, that might be a bit optimistic, but certainly nobody here on the ground seems to be worried about that. People aren't even taking advantage of a massive reduction in the cost of petrol. They're not really filling up their tanks. As far as who's keeping law and order, do you know, it's astonishing when you think about the number of weapons that have been released to the general population. If this were London or New York, surely there would be a lot of crime on the streets, because nearly every young man seems to have access to a gun at the moment. And yet there isn't. There's a lot of gunfire during the day, during the night, but everybody's learnt to live with it. People just seem to be hanging together and behaving themselves to a large extent, because their main priority here is to get rid of Colonel Gaddafi. Now, there are incidents, of course there are, but not so as you would notice just walking around the city.
Well, but for how long? And that was the question you raised at the top of this interview. Pascal Harder, tell us what people are thinking about this division of Libya. In some sense, and I was talking with a Libyan here in the United States who was describing the situation, saying that Gaddafi and this unrest has taken Libya back to the time before even the monarchy, when it was split into East and West, Italian versus French, tribe versus tribe. What do people say about that?
Well, if you speak to protesters here, they're very keen to emphasize that as far as they're concerned, Libya and its tribes are united. They say that this is very much the people against Gaddafi and his acolytes and his family. And they are not worried about Libya splitting up. Of course, later there will be tensions if this country ever gets a fair government which represents everybody. But at the moment, they're all hand in hand, really.
What's the biggest headline that could come out of this meeting of the opposition committee that, as you say, is meeting right now?
If it can pull out of the hat that any country is really formally recognizing it as representing, being the government of Libya, then that would be an achievement. Unlikely, though, although there is a poster on the National Council building saying, thanks, France. That seems to be the front runner in terms of the countries which are paying court to the National Council.
So looking for official recognition of the opposition forces in Benghazi, maintaining law and order at this point, and you already say that a call for a no-fly zone is already on the table. Pascal Harder, thanks so much. Pascal Harder joined us once more from Benghazi, where she's our partner, the BBC's correspondent, in the so-called free zone of Libya.